growing into maturity, growing into maturity. When I was speaking with Justin about what I might share this morning in his absence, my mind went back to a series of messages, actually, that I gave on this back in 2011. It was in July of 2011, July and August. And since that time, God has shown me a whole lot more about this subject. And so it's with great joy that I am privileged to be able to share some of these things with you here this morning. First of all, maturity defined. Let's look at that together in our notes. I'm going to read that for you. Maturity defined, it is the process of moving from infancy into adulthood. Moving from infancy into adulthood. Growing into responsibility and authority with God's timing. I want to reemphasize that statement. Growing into responsibility and authority with God's timing. Keep that in mind. We're going to be coming back to that issue of responsibility and authority. Full maturity brings us to handling life with full measure of the nature and character of God. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, if you want to post that, Scott, it talks about coming into the fullness of God and having and experiencing and enjoying the fullness of God. That's part of the maturing process, the growing up process that we go through in life. But just think about that for a moment. That scripture actually says that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. If I'm going to be filled with anything, I want to be filled with the fullness of God. I know that's the same for you. So what we're going to be talking about here this morning as we look at some of these definitions and expand these definitions, we're going to be looking at six specific words in Scripture from the Greek text, from the New Testament text, that define and describe it. But before I get into that, I want to just share a couple of things with you as it relates to this whole subject. First of all, I'm probably not as mature as I think I am. I don't know if that rings anything with you or not, but particularly in certain things, you know, when certain things come up, I don't respond with the kind of maturity that I wish I would respond. And so we know that is a process then. It is moving from one phase of life, from one stage of life in maturity to another, growing into responsibility and authority. It involves the consistent expression of the nature and character of God. I noticed this morning as I was praying in my office upstairs at our house, there's a quote from me that is hanging there, and I had forgotten that it was even there. And this is what it says. To the degree that I love God, I can love my fellow man. And to the degree that I love my fellow man, I can love God. Think about that for a minute. When I am filled with the fullness of God, the majority of what is coming out and flowing out of that fullness is the nature and character of God in His love, in His compassion, in His mercy, in His grace. What's interesting, as we look at this from a perspective of process, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20 is a very important verse of Scripture for us, because we know that, as Justin has been teaching on spiritual gifts and everything, we are to be growing up into the spiritual gifts that God is giving to us. And in chapter 14, he talks about, he uses one of the words that we're going to look at here in a little bit, for infants. And he says, Paul says to the Corinthian church, in malice, be like infants. In malice, be like babes. So if you want to be really mature in malice, be like a babe. You see what I'm saying? What I'm suggesting here as we go through these terms this morning, they overlap with one another. And they have nuances and applications that apply to each other from different aspects and different consistencies. To the degree that the world, the flesh, and the devil is allowed to influence and manipulate me, to that degree I am immature. I want to restate that. To the degree that the world, all of the activity of the world and the influences of the world, all the activity of the flesh to nature and all that, and the devil himself, Satan himself, and all his evil forces, to the degree that those three forces, the world, the flesh, and the devil, are allowed to influence and manipulate me, to that degree, I am immature. Think about that for a minute. So how well do we handle everyday stress of life? How well we are handling the everyday stresses of life is very significant as it relates to maturity and the issue of maturity. The most spiritually mature person, and I have a few pictures in my mind right now of some very mature people, spiritually mature people. Still, I know that there are areas of their lives that there is lack as it relates to the full measure of the fullness of God in maturity. This is significant for our church. I want to ask you a question. How mature do you believe this fellowship to be? How mature are we? Well, a good answer to that question is what I just asked you personally. To what degree are we allowing the world, the flesh, and the devil to influence or manipulate us? How significant is it for us to take a look at how mature we are as a fellowship of believers? For this very reason, because God has called us to minister into each other's lives. And if we're going to minister into each other's lives the way God wants us to, then we need to see each other through those kind of lens, through those eyes. God is exposing all kinds of stuff in this generation. This morning, you just heard that testimony from Dorothy. God exposed all kinds of stuff in her life, and he took care of it by the ministry, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God ministered into her life in such a way that has changed her and will change her if she continues to walk in it for all of eternity. Yeah. And so, yes, to the degree that we are walking in these things that God has given to us by way of revelation is the degree to which we are growing up in maturity. Responsibility does not preclude that you have authority. Let me repeat that. Responsibility does not preclude that you have authority. Authority is granted us by God, and it does not preclude maturity with responsibility. But when we grow up into the fullness of the measure, the stature of faith that God has for us, then authority and responsibility can work together as God has intended it to. Okay? So with that in mind, let's go to that for first term. And these are Greek terms, so you're going to have a little Greek lesson this morning. The first word is napios. Napios. It literally means baby or infant. No speech. A napios, an infant, cannot talk, does not have words to describe. I don't know about you, but with all three of our children, for me personally, because I'm dad and I'm father, when our children began to say, Daddy, there was something very, very special about that. Now, I want you to picture this. From a spiritual perspective, the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your Father in heaven, whatever the spiritual language of an infant is from his perspective, and you begin to say to him, Daddy, his eyes light up, And he becomes excited about the step of faith that you are being taken in to become that mature person in infancy that he is calling you to be. An infant child. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's look at that. This was the context of the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. This is what Paul says. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal," as fleshly. There's that one word. They were not handling the fleshly desires that they had in themselves very well. I speak to you as fleshly, as to babes, there's your word, napios, infants in Christ. And of course, then he goes on and he uses the idiom, carries it on even a little further. He said, "I fed you with milk, not with solid food." What's solid food for? The more mature. "For until now, you were not able to receive it, and even now, you are still not able." And so what's the context here? The context is there was all kinds of division and bickering and fussing and fighting amongst the members of this particular fellowship called the Corinthian church. Some would say, "I'm of Paul." Some said, "They're of Apollos." Others said, "No, we're more mature than that. We're of Christ." But there was not an understanding about what all of that was supposed to mean from a mature perspective. And so Paul says, "I have to talk to you like I would talk to a baby, like an infant in my home." There's a place for that. And we should not despise it. Do not despise infancy in the spiritual realm. Never despise infancy in the spiritual realm. Let's go to another scripture, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Let's look at that together. Ephesians 4:14. We have to begin somewhere. Where do you begin? You begin in infancy. In Ephesians 4, coming back to, again, the whole focus on the spiritual gifts and everything that Justin's been teaching us on, you talk about the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, that we might be growing up together, edifying the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, verse 13, and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. The word perfect there doesn't mean perfect apart from anything that is flawed. It means mature. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see what God expects of us? He expects maturity. He expects maturity. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, that's your word, napios, babes, that we should no longer be babes tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness and the deceitfulness, the deceitful plotting, etc., etc., etc. But he says, as you grow up, speak truth in love. Coming back to the love issue again. All right. Okay, now let's just recognize something here. What God wants us to do is act our age. If you're an infant in Christ, it's okay to act your age. It's all right. But what we need to recognize as fellow believers in the body of Christ is when someone comes to faith in Jesus and it's a brand new thing to them, they've never had this experience in Jesus before. Someone's smiling back there at me. Thank you, Mario. When we come to that place and we minister to one another and there's that infant thing that's going on, applaud them, encourage them, come alongside them and say, "Yes, this is who you are." Don't expect an infant to eat filet mignon. See what I'm saying? What we do so many times is people come to faith in Jesus, and in those early infant days, we expect them to grow and mature spiritually at a rate a million times faster than what would be in the natural. Yeah. No, let's be patient with each other. Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. That's a good word for all of us. But God is calling us to act our age. Now, what troubles me is that suppose we have known Jesus for 25 years and we're still acting like infants. Then we got a problem. If you notice, I have never stood at the door as you're coming in with a basket of pacifiers and given you something as a symbol of where you're at when you come in. Why? No, because I'm expecting that by now, for most of you, you're no longer on milk. You no longer need the pacifier. You're no longer the one that says, give me my binky and my blankie and I'll be happy. No. Yeah. You're growing up. Let's turn to Ephesians 5 because this was a problem. Or not Ephesians 5, Hebrews 5. This was a problem in this particular fellowship that Paul, I believe it was Paul, is addressing here. Let's pick it up with verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, the word of God. For he is a babe, a napios, that's the word. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That's teleon, that's at least a growing into maturity age. You have, and those who have reason use their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So what is the author suggesting here? He is suggesting that an infant cannot always discern between good and evil. But one who is of maturity can and should. So let's go to the second term, paideion. That means child. That's the toddler through about age 10. And what I've suggested there for you is a couple of scriptures, and the one that I want to turn to first is Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. This is really exciting because you say, did Jesus go through this process of maturity in the flesh, in his human body, in his humanness on earth? Yes. Jesus himself went through the same growth and maturity process from infancy, spiritually mature, to fatherhood, to adulthood, the same as we. And you say, well, why would he? Why would he? Because he was going to demonstrate what it was like to be perfect at every stage of maturity. You see what I'm saying? From infancy in his faith to on up. We're going to look at some of this morning to help us to understand this. Verse 80. So the child, referring to Jesus, grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The child grew and became strong and in his spirit. What does that suggest? That suggests that he started by an act of his own will, giving up all that was heaven and all this divinity as it relates to full maturity in his heavenly state, pre-incarnate Christ. He gave that all up to become exactly like you and I and began the infancy, the maturing process. Okay, let's look at chapter 2 and verse 40 of Luke. Chapter 2, verse 40. It says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and grace, and the grace of God was on him. Now, if this was true for Jesus, why wouldn't it be true for us? It's important for us to recognize, to give ourselves space and time to grow up in our faith, to grow up in that process of becoming mature. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And this is a very significant passage of Scripture, because what John is addressing here more than anything is that whole issue of coming to the fullness of the stature of the nature of God in love for and with one another, and you know, vertical and horizontal. And there's a number of terms used here in 1 John 2 that we're going to be looking at here this morning. 1 John 2, verse 12. I write to you, little children. That's the word technon. We're going to be getting into that here in just a little bit. That's the third word we're going to look at. I write to you, little technons, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Verse 13. I write to you, fathers. That's pater. I write to you, fathers, the most mature of the mature. Because you have known him, that is Jesus, who is from the beginning. And then he says, I write to you, young men. I write to you, young men. And the word there is neanias. The word, that's the fifth term that we're going to be looking at. And this is a reference to, and we'll come back to it, but a young man who is preparing himself for military action. And the whole context here is warfare. Because notice what John says. Because you have overcome the wicked one. What's that speak of? Being a warrior. I write to you, little children. That's paideia. That's the one that we're looking at right now. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, pater, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, and I have written to you, young men, the same word again, the young military men. All right, let's look at another scripture. Verse 18, verse 18 of the same chapter. Little children, that's paideia. Little children, it is the last hour. And you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. So, what is true for a person who steps from infancy into toddlerhood, into age 10 or so, if you can picture that in your mind, is to begin to know and understand about some end times things and about some stuff that's happening with evil in this world. And so keep that in mind as you think about this maturity process. Now I'm going to say something here, and I want you to get this. Jesus never sinned at any level of maturity. Jesus never sinned at any level of maturity. He chose to accept the place of maturity that he was at a point of time. And if we would go back again to the story of Jesus when he went into the temple as a young child, and he began to dialogue with the scribes and the Pharisees, they looked at this child and said, wait a minute, how can this be that this child can know all of these things? Well, why was it? Because in many ways, he was way beyond his age as it relates to spiritual maturity when he was beginning to dialogue with these people. Okay. All right, let's go to the third term, technon. Let me ask you a question. Is an infant or a toddler ready for leadership? No. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was a young man, I came to know Jesus at a very early age, and was discipled very well. But I was not ready for a place of spiritual responsibility as a high school graduate, even as a college graduate, even as a seminary graduate. I remember graduating from seminary in 1976. Yeah, 1976. That seems like eons ago. And I was thinking, you know, I feel like such an infant, such a babe. How can it be that God could give to me the freedom to be able to step into pastoral ministry, not having any experience. God, you know, I'm wet behind the ears. But I really believe that that helped me more than it hindered me, because it helped me to realize that I needed to depend upon those who were more mature than I was to help me through those early days of ministry. And I remember many times fussing about certain things early on in ministry. And I was like a teenager, a technon. And in many ways, I thought I knew more than I really did. And God had to adjust some things in my life through stress, through sufferings, through persecutions, to help me to understand where I was in my maturity process. So the foundation of life for a teenager has been established. But there's something about teenagers, I don't know about you as a teenager, but every teenager, including myself, I wanted to be treated like an adult, because I had adult physical maturity. Yet at the same time, I was asking the question, who am I? I didn't know who I was. And I don't know about you, but most teenagers believe that they really know more than their parents. If their parents would just know what they know, things would be so much easier. Yeah. They believe that they are ready for full adult responsibility with authority. But technically, what we need to understand here is that any teenager spiritually needs to recognize that they need to come under that authority and submit to that authority. This is probably the most difficult thing that I have ever experienced in over 40 years of pastoral ministry. And that is helping people walk through maturity processes, particularly teenagers spiritually. Because, let's face it, every teenager wants the car keys, but they don't want to be told when to come home. And spiritually speaking, when we go through this time and you say, well, where is an example of this in Scripture? Aaron and Miriam. Aaron and Miriam rebelled against the leadership of Moses because they were saying, we hear from God too. How come you're the only one that gets to be the one guy up front? And so those are the kind of things that God dealt with the nation of Israel. And it's the same thing we deal with in pastoral ministry every single day of our lives, dealing with teenagers in the spiritual realm. Now, if you're there, that's fine. I applaud you. But just be willing to come under the authority and spiritual leadership that God has given to you, because as you submit to that, and incidentally, the word submission literally means to come under, and when I come under the authority of God's word, it looks like this. I'm under the authority of God and his word. The moment that I try to place myself above the authority of God in his word, then I rebel. I resist the leadership that God has given to me in my life. I had to go through that myself. All of us do. There's none of us here this morning that have never been an infant, a toddler, or a teenager in the spiritual sense. And some of us are still there. And some of us still tend to go back to some of those places where we shouldn't be. We should be mature by now. And God help us. All right. Where I want to spend more time this morning is, I'm about 10 minutes here, on the whole subject of sonship. Huios, that's how you pronounce that. This is about age 30. And incidentally, there is something very important for us to understand about becoming sons in the kingdom. Maturity has developed And this I have here in your notes. Maturity has now developed so as to be able to take over the family business. You're ready for authority without supervision. You remember, all teenagers need and have to have supervision. But now, you're full age. You should be coming to that point of time where you don't need any supervision anymore. And I have there, you are test ready. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, if you would, again, because I want to use the example of Jesus. When Jesus stepped into sonship and into that place of maturity in his life where he was ready to face the cross, notice I said ready to face the cross, ready to face the ultimate in suffering. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God at various times and in various places spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. He has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. There's your term, we us. The guy that I gave the keys to the kingdom to, and I gave the kingdom to. Jesus turned around and gave the keys to Peter. The Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the worlds. Do we have any indication in Scripture that Jesus was given the place of authority and responsibility at this level when he was in the temple as a young lad discussing with the scribes and Pharisees? No. But now he is ready. He is ready to receive the fullness of all the kingdom can give. But notice what that requires. Chapter 2 and verse 10. Chapter 2 of Hebrews and verse 10. For it was fitting for him, that is Jesus, for whom all things are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons. There's your we. There's your term, we us. Many sons to glory, growing us up into sonhood to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's why I say, when you step into that place of adult spiritual maturity, of sonship, you are now test ready. You are ready to be tested to the hilt, to the ultimate. You are ready to take over the family business. And from God's perspective, he is now fulfilling everything that Jesus prayed when he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Now let your name be holy in my life, it is in yours. Let your kingdom come. Let the king's domain establish on earth as it is established in heaven. Let your will be done through me on earth as it is already established in heaven. Let that which is kingdom, the king's domain, be established through me." When we step into this place of maturity, we are now ready to be a king under the king in the king's domain. See what I'm saying? When Jesus got the revelation of his purpose, Luke 4, Matthew 3, he walked into the maturity, into this maturity as a son. And it was manifest in dramatic ways through him. If we allow our flesh to manifest the revelation, manifest through the revelation of God that he has given to us, if we allow our flesh to manifest through the revelation that God has given to us, we all get the best grade A flesh produced possible. But I'll guarantee you, grade A flesh is grade A flesh. It's still flesh. Jesus never allowed himself to step into that as a true son. He said, I refuse to let anything that is a curse to come against me. I refuse to allow anything that is of the world, the flesh, and the devil to influence me as a son, ready to lead in the kingdom. I am ready for authority. There was a ceremony that in the Jewish culture that they would go through, when a man came into this place of maturity in the physical realm. It was called the Huiothesia. There was a ceremony called the Huiothesia, and it was the time when there was a declaring a son to be ready to handle with full responsibility and authority in managing the kingdom. Authority without supervision. This is where the term step comes in that we have in Scripture called adoption. Adoption in Scripture is not what we think. It's not like we think of it in physical terms today. Rather, it was a public declaration that my son is now ready to manage the kingdom with full operating assets and authority. And so when Jesus was baptized and he began to step into that full sonship, clear through the time of the cross and then the resurrection, and incidentally, if you get a chance to go see the new movie, Risen, do it. It's a great, great, great production. But the point I want to make here as it relates to Jesus stepping into that place of sonship, as he began to declare who he was and speaking with and in that authority that God had given to him, he fulfilled Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, paideia. But a son is given and the government is going to be on his shoulders. So, what is Jesus doing? What did Jesus do? He took the government that God had for him and he began to lead in the kingdom, and now he's giving it to us as sons and daughters. And when I say sons, I'm not referring to gender, I'm referring to maturity. Yeah. His sonship, the sonship of Jesus, was constantly being tested by the enemy, and so will yours. Don't ever think that as a son of God, from the perspective of weos, being a full, mature, ready to receive the authority of the kingdom time in your life, don't ever think that you'll be able to bypass testing and suffering. No, expect more. Thank you very much. Yeah, expect more. You say, well, I don't want to be a son then. I'd rather be a teenager and just keep on rebelling. Well, no. Don't be satisfied with that. You don't need to be a rebellious teenager, by the way. You can be a compliant teenager to the fullness of who God has made you to be in that stage of your life. Sonship was constantly tested by the enemy. God will test your maturity. If you notice, Jesus never had a class that was water walking 101. It didn't exist. But when it came time for that place of maturity for Peter to step out of the boat, Jesus recognized he was coming into another place of maturity, ready to step into water walking. Yeah. Now, I don't know how many of you walk on water today, in the literal sense, but I do know in the spiritual sense we do, because that's where our faith is. Yeah. We begin to grow up in all that God has given us. Okay. Two checks that I want to make for you as it relates to this whole thing. You're saying, well, I think I'm in that stage of sonship. I think that's where God has me right now. And incidentally, throughout this whole message, I was hoping what you're doing is kind of taking a self-inventory. God, where am I? Am I still an infant? Am I a toddler? Am I a young teenager? Or am I stepping into sonship, maturity? And don't be so hard on yourself if you say, you know, there's still an awful lot about me that's still as teenager. You know what the best thing we can do, if by now we should be sons and we're still a teenager? The best thing we can do is admit it. The most important thing we can do is admit it and just say, God, you know what? I still want my binky and my blankie. I'm sorry, God. And God said, he just kind of smiles and says, okay, that's all right. Go take it for a while. You'll get over it. And he begins to grow us up. And how does he grow us up? Through testings. Yeah. Through hard stuff that comes our way. But there's two things that you need to check as you step into sonship. Number one, your emotions. It is so easy for our emotions to get ahead of revelation and the wisdom of God. I'm going to repeat that because this is very important. It is so easy for our emotions to get ahead of the revelation and wisdom of God. God, don't let my emotions get ahead of your revelation to me about who you are and what you want done. The worst thing we can do as sons in the kingdom is to begin driving everything with emotion. Now, God wants us to have emotion, but that is not to be the driving force. Okay? So check your emotions. Second, your intellect, your mind, your brain, your spiritual brain, if you please. Here's what we tend to do in this place of sonship. We tend to intellectualize and reason with human understanding what God has blessed us with. If you catch yourself trying to intellectualize and reason with human understanding what God has blessed us with, then you need to say, wait a minute, I'm going to set that aside and I'm just going to accept by faith what God is doing and not try to figure it out and put it into a box so that it makes sense. In many ways, I'm kind of glad that Justin's not here this morning, because I'm going to brag on him a little bit. And Tara, but particularly Justin, because I know him better. I've known Justin ever since Greg brought him up here, but I haven't really known him till the last 2 years. When this whole episode began to happen with Tara, and I went down to the hospital, and I spent time with him, I was watching him like a hawk. How is this young man responding to this very, very, very stressful situation going on with his wife? And I'm going to say this, folks. I am so proud of him. He did it with a maturity level way beyond his years. How he dealt with the nurses and the doctors and communicated with them on a level way beyond what I would have been at his age. I watched him in Durango as we were in the waiting room, and Scott and Kelly were there too, and we were praying with each other and everything, and just listening to his dialogue with us about everything that was going on. His maturity level is way, way beyond the norm. I am so grateful for that, because that's the kind of man I want to be my pastor, who is young in age, but a son in the kingdom. Yeah. Be proud of him and tell him so, because I do all the time. Yeah. Yeah. It just makes me so proud as a papa. Yeah. Doesn't it, Greg? All right, two more, and our time is gone. And I'm just going to quickly mention these. You can study these on your own. Ananias, a young man. And this man, as far as history is concerned, was about 40 years old. He was in military leadership. He could have been a commander. Fact is, it's the reference, the term used to of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it's also mentioned, as I already referred to earlier in the message. But what this young man is doing as he is stepping into warfare, and he's learning all about warfare, And I have to say this, in my own spiritual maturity process, I don't think I stepped into this place of a young man and spiritual warfare until we embraced Cleansing Stream Ministry. When we embraced that ministry, all of a sudden, my eyes began to be open to the authority along with the responsibility along with the authority that God has given to us and wants each one of us to have to overcome everything and anything that is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yeah. It's a phenomenal thing. So let me encourage you. If you want to truly be a man or woman of war, get involved in these ministries. Yeah. Know your place of authority and responsibility because it will bring you into being a true father, a man with white hair. Reproduction is now paid off. He surrounds himself with those he has discipled. He can enjoy the fruit of his labors. That's where I'm at. I'm loving it. It is so fulfilling, so relaxing. There is dignity in legacy, and legacy with dignity. Yeah. As a pater, a father, and I have a whole lot to learn about what this means yet, I want to speak into several of your lives as we close here this morning. Ben, your message last week was powerful. It was the best I've ever heard you deliver. And as a son in the kingdom, God has matured you into that place where you know and understand your place of authority and responsibility. Thank you for sharing it with us. And Linda, he is what he is because of you. And vice versa, because you're one. Yeah. Thank you. George Love. You look at me. Thank you. I remember the days when you and Jan were first seeing each other. Yeah. Babes. Babes. But it didn't take very long. You became toddlers. Didn't take very long. You became teenagers. You have stepped out of being a teenager and becoming full sons, daughters in your faith. You have grown into that place of respectability and honor, both of you. You're becoming pater in time. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Yeah, both of you. Clint and Lisa, same thing. Yeah. Same thing. I don't need my referee shirt anymore. Why? Because we can give you authority with responsibility and not be concerned. I don't have to treat you like a teenager anymore. Lori Thompson isn't here this morning either, but same category. Lori and Jane, same thing. I remember years ago when you and Lori decided you were going to go to the reservation to be missionaries. Teenagers, right? But that doesn't mean your faith wasn't real. You believed in what God had called you in, your gifts and callings. You knew that's where you belonged. You went. And as hard as it was, it still was a period of time, a season in your life that God was growing you up into full sonship. Thank you for your faithfulness. Yeah. So many of you here today. Ricky Bass. Brother, for all the hell that you've been through, thank you for not camping there. You went through it, both of you, you and your wife together, and are still going through it. But you're not quitting. You're not giving up, even when you want to. Even when there's something inside the flesh that says, this is too hard. I can't go another day. You're saying, no, I'm not going back. I'm going to embrace the maturity of Jesus in my life. Thank you, both of you. Yes. Yeah, this is so good. Emily, thank you for growing up. BJ, thank you for growing up. Finally. No. I'm being facetious. And Jim Smith, thank you for always modeling to me what it means to be mature. You and Nancy, thank you. Greg, yeah, same thing. Thank you. Mark, come, let's close this. You can read that last paragraph that's down there. This is so good. This is part of what God just is. Filled my heart with such joy to be at this stage of life and ministry. Thank you, church, for putting up with me all these years, putting up with us, Sharon and I. Sometimes when we're acting like teenagers or toddlers or babes. Any of this make sense to you this morning? Yeah. Good. So, Father God, I just speak your blessing over this fellowship of believers. Thank you, God, for bringing us to this place of maturity that we are today. And, Father God, I thank you that we are refusing to stay where we're at, satisfied with yesterday's maturity, level of maturity. And we are choosing to lay aside everything that contradicts the next step into maturity. Thank you, Jesus. Continue to use us, Father, to expand your kingdom in this city, in this region, so that the power of God might be seen at every level.